Buna Dimanyatsa. That is good morning in Romanian. It's good to have you all here. Thank you for allowing us to share what God has laid upon our hearts as a family. We count it a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. My wife Beth is going to be able to come up, and we're going to give you a little bit of history of Romania, why Romania is in the situation that it is in today, also what the challenges are for that country, what the needs, spiritually speaking, are of that people group. And it is a multicultural people group, as you will soon find out. We'll also introduce you to our family, our three daughters, the three youngest, who are here with us today. They also will be going with us to Romania, Lord willing, when we head over there. Our goal is by next summer. But we're going to start this morning by showing you a little video, a little bit about what we'll be doing and why, and it's a little bit about the Jolly's journey.
Is it fair for young people to live and die in the shadow of cathedrals wearing crosses and other icons around their necks? Symbols whose significance they don't even faintly understand. Romanians are surrounded by Christian imagery, but they are far from having a saving knowledge of Jesus. Some of their ancestors several generations ago genuinely worshipped and served the Savior, but that's not enough. Every new generation is potentially an unreached people group. Nowhere in the world are there more beautiful and abundant Christian architecture and symbolism than in Romania. Majestic Orthodox cathedrals and landmarks named after saints are clear but mute testimonies to a vital Christian past. Yet much of Romania is spiritually destitute. Even in the economically prosperous city of Bucharest, with its teeming population of 2.5 million people, the atmosphere seems grand, but in reality is dim and joyless, as inexpressive faces convey a spiritual emptiness. Romania is a tragic paradox, an empty appearance of Christian symbolism and tradition that masks the reality of spiritual darkness. Under Romania's brutal communist past, religion was suppressed, churches were destroyed, and many Christians were arrested and tortured for their faith. The Romanian Orthodox Church did not oppose the regime, and many priests were even informants for the Securitate, the secret police. These actions caused a pervasive attitude of distrust for the church that still continues today. 79% of people under the age of 25 have never even set foot inside of a church building. Christianity in general is seen as irrelevant, outdated, and unnecessary. So even with a strong religious past, 90% of Romanians have no connection to true Christianity. Each is searching in a futile attempt to find intellectual satisfaction, physical sensation, spiritual enlightenment, and an ever-elusive personal peace. But within Romania's spiritual darkness, God's Spirit is moving on hearts and using faithful believers in miraculous ways to rescue the lost. One church that is making such a difference is Biserica Metanoia in the western central city of Arad. Metanoia means repenters. This body of believers has realized that merely fitting into the mold of religious tradition will not meet the needs of Romanians today.
Our family is excited to be going to live and work in Arad, Romania, sent by our home church, Harvest Bible Chapel, Davenport, along with HCJB Global. HCJB Global is a healthcare and media organization that has been impacting the world for the cause of Christ for over 70 years. We are excited to be going to Arad, Romania, to work with a very exciting and vital ministry of Biserica Metanoia. The church has established Metanoia Radio, as it's called, which is basically radio repenters. It's something that we're excited to be a part of simply because of the fact that it will break the cultural paradigm. It's something that is completely new and different, but focused in on reaching 90% of the population of Romania, which does not listen to any Christian radio. It will require vision. It will require intentionality. It will require the option of prayer that we desperately need. All of these things are focused in on making Metanoia Radio something unique,
but something very focused on reaching the unreached peoples of Romania. Along with the current staff and church leadership of Biserica Metanoia, I'll have the privilege of working with them to help craft a vision for programming that will help build bridges along common interests and culture. Now, to explain a bit more about Metanoia Radio, here is the pastor, Christy Barbosa.
Dear brothers and sisters, we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. I want to be very clear and simple. This is a plea for you to help our radio ministry in Romania, in Arad, in Metanoia. We've started about 3 years ago with basically no training, no person, no studios, just with a great zeal for the Lord. By the grace of God, we have right now 14 hours of broadcast going out every week for our radio station. With all the efforts we made and all the energy and money that we're going into this project from here, from Arad, Romania, probably our greatest struggle is with training. Because, you know, radio, you cannot just do it out of enthusiasm or out of what you hear from others. You need specialized people that know the rules of broadcasting, how to talk, where to talk, about sound and so on. And we don't have the training and we don't have the people that can do this training. That's why, and I am touching our subject, Dave Jolly and his family are a value for this project. We've been in touch with them in the past 3 years since we started this studio and this ministry, because they came to Romania faithfully every year for 2 or 3 weeks, and every single time we have them come to teach us and help us and listen to us. And right now, their desire, and actually I think God's desire for them to come to Romania, it's really brings a lot of excitement to us, because we can build on a strong foundation where we cannot just get the little things from the crumbles from the table, but we can get the real meat, the real foundations in building a strong radio ministry. That's why our people are waiting for them, our church is waiting for them, and the ministry itself.
Over the last 9 years, the Lord has been preparing the Jollies for this ministry. From working with orphans and gypsies in central Romania, to helping build a church in the southern portion of the country, and most recently, helping to train broadcasters at the radio station, God has been equipping the Jollies to go out and assist those who are seeking to reach their nation for Christ. The Jollies are going to Romania, this time for the long haul. But to get there, they need to build a team of partners like you who recognize the kind of challenges and opportunities this type of ministry represents. Partners who will invest both their time in prayer and in sacrificial giving to see hearts, lives, and homes transformed for Christ. Henry Blackaby, author of Experiencing God, has said, "Find out where God is at work, then go and join Him there." Romania is now largely spiritually dark and empty, but God's Spirit is moving. Through ministries like Metanoia Radio, His Word is being spoken. And in the spiritual void of this country, God is at work. Will you join Him there?
We count you to be a vital part of our ministry in Romania.
And from the Jolly family, thank you for praying and partnering with us on this journey.
So there you have a little bit about what we'll be doing and why God has placed it upon our heart. We want to share with you a little bit more, though, about the country of Romania, and specifically why we as a family feel that God is leading us to this this area of the world. So, Beth, why don't you come on this side, and we'll go ahead and begin and let you see a little bit about the country of Romania specifically.
Bună dimineața. We are learning Romanian. We don't know it well yet, but we are taking some lessons from some people within our church that we're really blessed to have that are from Romania. So our whole family is actually learning it right now. But yes, we do call this the Jolly's Journey, because it is a journey, and it's not one that has just started in the last few months. It's one that the Lord has taken us on, you know, ever since He's made Himself known to us over these many years. And so we're very privileged to be able to go to Arad, Romania. But I want to introduce you to our family. I know many of you know them already, but you probably haven't seen them recently, so you might not recognize them because they've grown up. So here is our family. Kelsey is not with us because she had to stay back home and work. But we do have the other girls, and I'll introduce them to you in just a moment. But just to tell you a little bit about us, Dave, I can say his age. It's okay to say a man's age. I don't know. Yeah, he did turn 50 this year. He is the station manager at one of the Moody radio stations in the Quad Cities and has been in radio ever since I've known him. And we've been married for almost 27 years. So he loves any Texas sports team and is currently grieving for the Texas Rangers, so as is the rest of our family. I don't say my age, so I just say I'm 39 and holding. No, I don't really mind saying it. I'm 47. Anyway, I homeschool, and I love taking care of my family and my home and being a support to my husband. So the other thing that I love is being a grandma to Ruby, Jane, and Piper. Oh, how did that slide get there? I don't know. That wasn't supposed to be there. Sorry. Well, hey, since it's here, we might as well just, yeah. Our oldest daughter, Kara, and her husband, Ryan, have two beautiful daughters, Ruby, Jane, and Piper Grace, and we enjoy being with them. Ryan is actually currently in basic training in the Army. He's going to be an EOD specialist and learn how to disarm and dispose of bombs, so you can keep them in your prayers. But anyway, okay, our oldest at home is Kelsey Lynn. She's 20 and works at Starbucks, is finishing up her two-year Bible degree from Moody Bible Institute online at home. She has been away, but she's back home now. She loves Romania and loves working with orphans and gypsy children and feels like that's what God is calling her to full-time. So hopefully she'll be one of our neighbors. Kayla Ann is here, and she's 16 years old in junior high. She works at a local business and loves volleyball and just got her driver's license. So
be careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have our twins, Kendra Joy and Kristen Grace. And Kendra is 12 and 3/4 years old. You know, we kind of measure in quarters, you know, when you're... She's in seventh grader, and of course she is homeschooled and loves drawing, writing, and all things creative. Kristen is, again, her twin. She's 5 years older, or 5 years, 5 minutes older than her sister. That'd be kind of, wow, that would.
That'd be wild.
Yeah. I have heard of twins that are like 24 hours apart, but I've never heard of ones that were that. Anyway, Kristen's big love is animals, especially dogs. Always has a dog that she's holding on to and squeezing. We have two of them, and we're taking one with us, hopefully, to Romania. So anyway, just a quick breakdown of Romania. Here's the country, and just a little geography lesson. It is about the size of the state of Georgia, just to kind of give you an idea of how large it is.
The population's about 22 million people. So that gives you a perspective as well. It is one of the few countries, though, in the world that actually is losing population right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of reasons for that, which we'll underscore as we move through this morning.
We have Hungary here to the west. The Ukraine wraps around the top, as well as the country of Moldova to the north and the east. We have the Black Sea, and then Bulgaria and Serbia to the south that are separated by the... separated from Romania by the Danube River. So, and we're going to be in Arad, which can anybody, it's really hard to see. It's
Western edge, right?
Way over there. That's where we will be, right? On the western edge next to Hungary. Mm-hmm. If Kelsey comes to work in Romania, she wants to work in, she has been there the last two summers full time and has worked in Oradea, which is just to the north, again, along the western edge. So if she comes to work full-time in Romania, as she feels like God wants her to, she would be just a couple hours to the north of us. It is a very beautiful country. Much contrast here is the Danube River and some of the beautiful scenery. There are two mountain ranges in Romania. The Carpathian Mountains run north and south, and the Transylvanian Mountains run east and west. And The climate there, yes, we do. We get snow. It's actually about the same as where we live currently now. It's about the same latitude as, you know, the Midwest, Chicago area. And this is actually a place where we went when we were there in June. There's lots of these little quaint little villages and towns and things that are nestled in among the hills in different places. And it's very beautiful. This is a fairly typical town. This is this Sigishwara? Yeah, Sigishwara. And kind of medieval looking. It is also called the breadbasket of Europe. Beautiful, fertile farmland. And it's all over. So I like this picture. It's in a valley in between some of the mountain ranges because I think it does depict our journey just a little bit with all its twists and turns and windy hills and roads. And you know, you can see a little bit, you know, up ahead, but you can't see very far. You know, the Lord knows what's up ahead.
The country is definitely one of contrasts. It has old and new combined. When you get there, if you stay inside the city, it's fairly modern. But once you get just outside the city limits, it goes back about 150 years. You'll still see ox-drawn plows and horse-drawn carts. That's how people get along. So it is a country of contrasts, obviously old and new. The family in the cart, and then you'll see a Volkswagen, brand new, and pass by it. This is a great, perfect picture of the old and new. This actually was an old building in Bucharest. Securitate, the secret police, were in this building. Then they just decided to build on top of it. Instead of tearing the old thing down, they just built a brand new building, modern building, on top of it. Here you can see the horse-drawn cart, or the donkey-drawn cart, with a tractor. You know, passing by it. And this is our favorite. So you just never know which of the old or which of the new you will see when you get to Romania. We want to give you a little bit of a lesson about communism and the effect that communism had. Many of you are, I'm sure, aware if you know much history at all. Following World War II, Russia moved in and took over most of Eastern Europe, including Romania. Romania actually fought on the side of the Axis powers in World War II. When the Russians came in, they set up the communist government, which was a very brutal dictatorship, especially under Nicolae Ceausescu. That is he. Ceausescu and his wife Elena, commonly referred to as the Ahab and Jezebel of Romania. They basically wanted everything for themselves. They wanted to build an army for themselves. He actually decreed that every family needed to have 5 children. Unfortunately, what that led to was the extreme poverty among the people. Beth mentioned that Romania is the breadbasket of Europe. Well, to pay off the nation's debt and to build himself a nice, luxurious lifestyle and palaces throughout the country, he would sell off almost all of the crops while his people stood in long bread lines. One of the buildings that he did put up was the People's Palace in Bucharest that he just flashed through a second ago. You can go back. I think there. That's the People's Palace in Bucharest. It is the second largest building in the world, only behind the Pentagon. Right, and of course, the reason he built that was, again, a monument to himself. And he crushed his own people while building this monument to himself. Right now, the entire government of Romania, the federal government, is housed in that building. And it takes about not even half of the building, just over a quarter of the building. The rest of it's empty, completely empty. So, huge, beautiful building, but it's an empty shell for the most part. While the Romanian people lived in poverty, he lived this luxurious lifestyle. And there you can see some of the effects. On the right side of the screen there, you'll see basically that's a communist-era apartment building. If any of you have ever been to any of the former communist buildings, that you see those all over the place. Drab, gray buildings, and those are still there in many instances. People lived on rations. They stood in long bread lines. Oftentimes they'd send their children out to stand the bread lines all day long, only to find out there was not enough bread. It's just amazing for us to, you know, consider what that would be like. Here, the breadbasket of Europe, but yet people can't get any food. It just is unfathomable for us. We just go down to the supermarket, get whatever we want. The secret police under Ceausescu were barbaric. Many people have also compared them to Hitler's SS troops during World War II. It's a very apropos comparison. They would basically try and close all churches, find and kill believers whenever they could. It was a very brutal state in which to live. The revolution of 1989 actually began as a spiritual revolution. Now, we know the political revolutions of 1989 in Germany, the Berlin Wall came down. Romania was the only one that really had spiritual roots, which is very interesting. There was a pastor in the western side of Romania who was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in a small church. And people began to come to that church and want to know more about who this Jesus was. And it grew and people became believers in the name of Jesus. Well, what the Securitate would try and do is they would take that individual, that pastor, and bring him to a larger city where they would keep better control over him and put him in a church where he would be an associate pastor. The senior pastor, though, would be someone that the Securitate would be able to control. So they bring him to Timișoara, western side of the country, larger city, about 400,000 people there. They place him in this Hungarian Reformed church, and the senior pastor is one that the Securitate control. 2 weeks after he arrives, the senior pastor has a heart attack and dies. How ironic is that? Well, obviously, then he ascends to the senior pastorate and begins to preach the gospel again. And people start coming in droves to this Hungarian Reformed church to hear, who is this Jesus? What is God doing? Well, the Securitate cannot have that, so they come in and tell this pastor, we are going to take you away. If you don't stop, we're going to take you away. So this is 1989, late November, almost the same time of year as this. He tells his people the week before the Securitate is going to come take him away, I want you to be witnesses. I don't want you to fight or anything like that. I just want you to be witnesses. So the people camp outside the church all week long. It's an amazing story, and I could go on for quite a while about it. But what ends up happening is that the Securitate do come at the end of the week. They take him away. But people were not allowed to gather in groups in that time period. And so when this church, this whole church body begins to follow their pastor as he's being let off, people that are coming into town on the tram see it, and they get off the tram and wonder what in the world's going on, so they join this crowd. The Baptist church from down the street sends their people. Soon you have 10,000 people in the square in Timișoara wanting this pastor back and decrying the Securitate's methods and means. Nicolae Ceausescu, the dictator, tries to quell the revolution. He sends the army in, sends tanks in. About 1,000 people die in Romania, including many children. The children try to flee the tanks and the soldiers by running to the Orthodox cathedral there on the square. The priest closes the door, would not let them in, and the children are gunned down on the steps of the cathedral. It's a very, very tragic story, but yet God used that in some miraculous ways to bring about a complete revolution in Romania. Ceausescu was overthrown. People were free once again. And as you notice in the picture on the right, they cut out the center part of the Romanian flag. That was the communist symbol. And so they cut that out of the flag, but they kept the nation's colors because that was their heritage.
Oops, messed that up. Sorry.
There again, you see the flag with the hole cut out of it, and Libertate, liberty, as they were able to celebrate Christmas Day of 1989 is when Ceausescu and his wife Elena were killed. Unfortunately, communism left a tremendous, horrific legacy as well. So, Beth, why don't you talk a little bit about that for us?
Well, we already mentioned the housing in deplorable situations. Ceausescu had moved everyone, or as many people as he could, into the city so that he could better control them. And they were pretty much left very, very destitute, unbelievable poverty. And of course, we know about you're probably familiar with the orphan situation. And that was as a direct result of his decree of not allowing or wanting everyone to have large families, which we love large families. However, if you have no means to be able to care for them, then the only thing that you feel like that you're left with is to abandon them. And as difficult as that is for us to believe here in America, that as mothers, you know, as fathers, that we could do that, if you think about what communism is really all about, which basically is that life has no value unless it's in service to the state. And if there is no God and there's no value to life, then giving up your own child is not that difficult to imagine. So the orphan situation was incredibly deplorable, and I know that probably some of you have heard and read and seen about that. Today in Romania, it is better than it was, although it certainly is still something that needs, you know, a lot of work. Romania joined the European Union in 2007, and that was one of the things that they had to do to be able to join the EU, was to take care of their orphan problem. So they did shut down some orphanages, especially the larger, more notorious ones, and the children were moved, you know, and placed here and there, et cetera. Many of them were lost, never really heard from again. In fact, we know an orphan that we would go back and see every year when we would go back to Romania. Her name was Kati, and she was at the Ludus orphanage. And the third or fourth year, I can't remember which, we went back to see her. She was gone. And they said, no, she's not here anymore. And we said, well, where did she go? Because we wanted to go and visit her. And they had no records. Or if they did have records, they didn't tell us what they were. So that's usually what happened. They just would be lost. But as a result, we have just this spiritual emptiness of people, again, under the oppression of communism and all that entails. And I think it's really impossible for any one of us who have lived in a free country all of our lives to really understand what that is like and what that's about. Where everything that you did, including the way you thought, was controlled by the government, and you just had that influence constantly. We can't really quite grasp that, but especially for anyone age 40 and under, if all they know of Christianity is that, you know, first of all, God is completely irrelevant. He's not involved in my life in any way whatsoever, so who cares? And also that the only Christianity that you've ever seen is perhaps the Roman Orthodox Church, the Romanian Orthodox Church, that was just nothing but empty ritual and tradition with no relationship. And again, many of them were, the priests were even informants for the Securitate. Then why would you want any part of that? So Romania is truly a very post-Christian nation. They have beautiful cathedrals, but they're empty. Literally and figuratively, they are empty. Again, Christianity is seen as irrelevant and outdated, not necessary. So how do we reach these people? That's the challenge before us, and that is what we are going over to Romania to, with the Lord's help, to try and do. And so some of these pictures here of some of these people, I think it's really just incredible to think about that each one of them needs the Savior, and yet many of them have never even heard of the name of Jesus Christ, let alone even care to know who or what he is about.
So that brings us a little bit to the purpose of why we are here today, is to learn a little bit more about what we'll be doing in Romania. Obviously, I've been in radio now for 30 years and had the privilege of working at some wonderful ministries, including HCJB Global. Many of you may recall that Beth and I were missionaries with HCJB back in the late 80s and early 90s. We were down on the Texas-Mexico border with HCJB. And we always kind of had this idea that someday God might just bring us back with HCJB. And again, our journey has taken us in some winding ways, but he has brought us back to HCJB. HCJB, does anyone know what that stands for, by the way? You can see it on the bottom. You got it. Heralding Christ Jesus blessings. Went on the air as a shortwave radio station back in the 1930s in Quito, Ecuador. Ended up broadcasting in over 40-some different languages at the peak of their ministry there in Quito. They've also now expanded into healthcare. The slogan for HCJB is being the voice and hands of Jesus. And their vision is to partner with Christians in media and healthcare to bring the voice and hands of Jesus to the unreached peoples of the world. And they do that in a variety of ways. They have taken down their shortwave station in Quito, Ecuador. And so now what they are doing, their goal is to not own anything. What they do desire to do is to partner with ministries in their own culture, in their own language. So Metanoia Radio, we're talking about, to working with the folks at Basetica Metanoia, Basetica Church, Metanoia Repenters. So it is the Church of the Repenters, and that's what evangelical believers in Romania are known as repenters. I think that's a great thing to be called. But Metanoia Radio is a ministry of Basetica Metanoia. It is part of the Harvest Bible Chapel church plant out of Chicago. James McDonald is the senior pastor, and he started there, but God has ultimately continued to expand their ministry. And they now have, church plants in Africa, some in Romania, and some other areas of the world, Nepal. Where's the latest one? Do you remember?
Vienna.
But the one here in Arad specifically was the first in Eastern Europe. Since that time, 7 years ago, God has used this ministry and expanded it. They now have 6 other church plants in Romania as well. Our goal is to work with the people at Metanoia Radio. They have an online station right now. They also produce 14 hours on a local Christian station. The desire is to get a frequency of their own and impact the cause of Christ in the entire community. And so that is what we will be doing. We'll be casting vision once that license comes in, vision for the programming. We'll be training the staff, as Pastor Christy Barbosa mentioned. They don't have anyone that can do that. So we'll be helping to train volunteers and staff as they come on board to help with the programming. We'll help with fundraising, how to actually get the funds raised to get the station up and off the ground and continuing on. Our goal is after 5 years to have this ministry self-sustaining, fully operational, and running under its own power. At that point, we'll then be able to perhaps move on to another area of Romania and do the exact same thing, or if God leads us to another portion of Europe, to be able to do the exact same thing. That's our plan and that is our goal. But to be in Romania by the summer of 2012, we need to raise required support of $6,900 per month. Now, that's the figure that HCJB sets. We are considered self-employed, which means we would need to raise all of our own support, including Social Security. We have to pay all of that. We have to pay all of our own health care. And here's kind of a breakdown. The portions on the right side, the salary and the housing, is actually what we'll be receiving. The rest of it, obviously, is medical insurance administration, which is 10% for HCJB, Social Security of 7%, retirement of 4%, and then HRA health reimbursement account. So $6,900 may seem like a lot to some or may seem like quite a bit less. Cost of living in Romania is not all that much different than it is here. It's just how it's allocated is different. For example, for gasoline, you'd pay about $8 a gallon. For housing, you could pay $300. So it's all in how it's allocated. If you want a pair of jeans, a nice pair of jeans in Romania, it's about $100. So you wouldn't want to buy it there. But it's all in how it's allocated. The cost of living overall, though, is about the same. So we're excited to see what God is doing. But again, we count this as a two-way street. We don't just simply want to look at churches or individuals who help on our support as a biblical ATM machine. That's not what it is. It is a true partnership. We may be on the front lines of the battle in Romania, but without the support troops, we could not be there. We would not be able to sustain what God has called us to do. So it is a two-pronged effort. We're just an extension of what you all would be doing, what Grace Bible Chapel is doing in Romania. So we're excited about that opportunity. So how can you help? We need partners. We do need partners who will be praying, most importantly. That is the most important facet of what we're asking people to do. Second, if God provides and you want to be involved in this ministry and in Romania and investing in changed lives in Romania, then we would be very thrilled to have monthly financial partners join us as well. Our commitment to you is very simple. We will be praying for you. We want you to share with us what is on your heart. What is God doing in your lives? How can we be involved in what God is doing through you? We also pray that you will continue in your walk with the Savior and grow and mature in Him. We will keep you updated regularly on how God is working in Romania. And then we want you to never forget what a vital part of our ministry you are through prayer and whatever giving God lays upon your heart. There are several ways to partner. Our website is thejolliesjourney.com. Doesn't that make sense? You can click the partner tab there. We do have some response cards in the back, I believe, that you can pick up, or simply just talk to us if you'd like to as well. I would like to close. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 46:10. Now, many of you are probably thinking, oh, I know what that says. Psalm 46:10. And I want to tell you a little story that a friend of mine expressed to me. He was walking through a Christian bookstore, and as he put it, and I do not mean this irreverently, but seeing all the Jesus junk that was there, he was like, really? This is what American Christianity is really about? All this stuff? And he was looking, you know, there's this self-help library over here, and then there's some great Bible teaching over here, some great Bibles right down the center, and there's music, and then there's videos, and there's stuff. Bumper stickers everywhere. Little trinkets you can put on your keychains, you know? And then he came across this beautiful painting on the wall. It has a mountain picture, mountain stream, and a deer, probably a 12-pointer, I don't know. You know, drinking at the little stream there, and then at the bottom it said, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, .. And he thought, I wonder what's so bad about the rest of that verse, the .. that they wouldn't even include it on the painting. So he went home, he opened his Bible, and he read Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That doesn't seem to be such a bad thing, does it? In fact, that's God's whole purpose throughout all of human history, to get his name, the fame of his name known to every people group. That's his whole purpose. That's why we're here. But yet we have, unfortunately, excluded that as a vital part of what we're doing. It is just the .. Because we think it's all about us. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, I'll relish that. I'll think about that. I'll sit there and be content in that. But that's not where it ends. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The question is, what are we doing to continue to get the fame of his name spread throughout all people groups? And that is our desire as a family. Thank you, sir.